He's for you. He's for us. He wants to help us. He's willing to help us. We've spent 6 weeks at least, just lesson number 6 on abiding, talking about the Father being the vine dresser. He's here for the process. He's not here to, he doesn't want to cut you off. He's made a way. And Jesus Christ is that way. Amen. Be seated. Thank you, team. In case y'all know, they don't practice all that. They had 3 songs down for today. And so the rest just came out of them. And that's because they're worshipers. Amen. And so they don't have to work it up when they get up here. It comes out of them as it should us all, no matter what, how talented our singing is. Worship, a great voice is not required for worship. A heart is required for worship. So this is going to be, I think, the final session on abiding. This is the 6th. I don't usually stay with a subject that long, but this has just been so good. And we've been talking about, am I simply a believer or am I an abider? And really, it's getting, I don't know if y'all have noticed this or not, but I'm not going to say in our nation, I'm going to say in the world, it's the dividing lines are getting very, very clear. And gray areas aren't gray anymore. John, they're very plain. And I feel like we need to be abiding more than ever and exposing ourselves to His Word more than ever, exposing ourselves to His presence more than ever, because I need to hear from Him. I need His wisdom. I need His guidance. I need Him, His correction. I need His love flowing through me so my flesh doesn't jump out there and grab somebody. Y'all must not live, does your flesh ever want to reach out there and grab somebody? Am I the only person in the house and I'm the pastor? Somebody's not amening right there where they should. Thank you. John 15, let's go back there. If you are joining us for the first time today, there are little signs at the entrance of the sanctuary with QR codes on them. If I'm teaching, you will have notes on that QR code. If John is teaching, make your own notes. Mine generally just has the scripture. I don't really put the notes in there, just the scripture, so you can kind of get a head start getting to them. But John 15, in the notes on the QR code that I provide for you, I have some notes within the scripture. You'll notice in parentheses, anything that's in parentheses, I added from the lessons that we've been doing, thoughts that we had. I don't know. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and read it that way. I wasn't going to inject those today, but I think we should because we have people joining us today who haven't been here. And I'll try not to get sidetracked. I'll try. That's my promise. All right. Jesus is speaking. And he said, I am the true vine. And what did we learn about that? If there's a true vine and Jesus feels the need to tell you he's the true vine, there's some false vines. We've got to be careful who we're connected to, what we're connected to. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He's the gardener. He's the husbandman, that different versions call it. God, that's what we're talking about. God doesn't mind the process. He's the gardener. He doesn't mind helping us grow. That's who he is. That's who the gardener is. And he's not out to attack us. He's out to help us grow. He wants us to produce fruit. And as we read through this today, I want us to really recognize fruit, because the whole purpose of John 15 is about the fruit. And we've talked about a lot of other side journeys here, abiding in faith and fearless abiding. We've talked about different things that are contained here, but it's about the fruit. So let that jump out to you as we're reading it today. Verse 2, every branch in me, Jesus says, that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Why? So it'll bear more fruit. The purpose is the fruit. He cares about that fruit. The purpose of pruning is more fruit. You are already, listen to what Jesus said, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. He's given you a fresh start. You're a new, if you've accepted Christ, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do old things try to creep back in? That's why we have pruning. Do thought patterns try to default back to how we were raised or what we were naturally, the inclinations we were naturally born? Yes. That's why he's there to prune us. Because those things that don't bear fruit, he says, let's take care of those. Let's go for more fruit. Because we're going to find out fruit is a big deal to God. That's the title of today. Besides part six, it's the fruit is a big deal. The fruit is a big deal. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me. You're clean, now stay here. Abide in me. Stay connected to me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. You can try, put forth your best willpower, your best effort. You cannot unless you are connected to the vine. Amen. And you know what? That's a relief to me. Because my biggest job is to stay connected. His job is to produce the fruit through me. We've been trying to produce fruit from ourselves. We've been trying to produce good things from ourselves that just didn't work out too well for us. This is a relief. This should be a relief to you. This is not self-righteousness. This is righteousness because I've chosen Jesus Christ as my substitute, as my Savior and my Lord. Right? Y'all must not have done the things I've done. Y'all be more excited about that. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, if they disconnect, we studied, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. As Dylan said, read that in the Passion Translation. It's great. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. You see how he interjects that there? If you abide in me, he was saying, if you abide in me and I abide in you. And in this verse, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Because some of you may be sitting there saying, how? That thing that you hold in your lap that's leather bound or it's on your device. If his words abide in you, it will produce something because it's called the seed of the word of God. In fact, it's called the incorruptible seed of the word of God that lives and abides forever. It's that seed. What does seed do? What does it produce? Fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. We talked about that on a different week. That's abiding faith. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. What glorifies the Father? Pruning? Because people get hung up on the pruning. Oh, Lord's pruning me. Hey, when the Lord prunes me, that's a good day. That's a good day because it's a good Father who says, let's take care of this. What glorifies him is when you're producing much fruit. That glorifies the Father. I want you to think about that just a minute. Let's put it personal. When you, Stephen, produce much fruit, it glorifies the Creator of the universe. Your fruit matters. It's a big deal to God. It glorifies him. It makes people look at God and go, wow, he just did that through Bo. Praise God. Well, we knew Susan back in the day. Yeah, but what you see now is pruning. and it glorifies God. Yes. So when you've been through stuff, don't let Satan shut you down.
Come on.
You let God prune you, prop you up, put fruit producing power through you. Let your life be changed. Let people see it and let it glorify God.
Amen.
And if you've lived perfect, it had to be by the power of God. You couldn't have done it. Let it glorify God. If you've had a good life and you've just lived a good life, praise God. Let it glorify God. Point to God. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, Jesus is saying this, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Stay connected. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. Man, if you're dealing with depression, this morning I want you to get a hold of that. If you're feeling down, if things aren't feeling right on the inside and you're disquieted on the inside of you, I want you to concentrate on that. Jesus said, you stick with me. You let my words abide in you. You let me abide in you. You abide in me. You stay connected to me. And my joy. I wonder what Jesus' joy looks like.
Amen.
It's the kind of joy that when the people were gathered to throw him off a cliff or to stone him or to condemn him, he could walk through the middle of them and go lay hands on somebody and heal them.
Amen. Yeah.
It's not that he wasn't persecuted. It wasn't that he didn't go through tough things. It's that he was so connected to the Father that none of that interested him.
Wow. Yep.
It couldn't have his attention. And he said, if you'll stay connected to me, my joy will remain in you, that your joy may be full. And then we listed the fruit of the Spirit. All right, let's get to today, because I could go backwards there real easy. When I was reading this today, this is what I picked up on. The fruit of our life, and we talked about this, produces out of connection. You're always going to produce out of what you're connected to. What are you connected to? But the fruit is a big deal. It brings glory to God. And the whole purpose of the pruning is the fruit. And so I borrowed the words from Jesus in verse 2. And I made something to say over myself. And I didn't get this till this morning. So I've only done it this morning. But it's in your notes if you got the QR code. And I suggest that you do it. This is what I'm going to start saying. From verse number 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, remove it. Every branch in me, every branch in my life that does not bear fruit, Father, remove it. Help me remove it. I mean, there's things we got to do. We got to renew our mind to the truth, to the word, right? That's our action. But he'll help us do it. He's the gardener. He's the husbandman. He's the vineyard dresser. And every branch that bears fruit in me, prune it. And you know what? Smile when you say it. Because we're not talking about a bad father here. As we mentioned in weeks before, we're not talking about Friday the 13th with a chainsaw kind of pruning. We're talking about a father who is the husbandman, the vine dresser, the gardener, who wants you to grow. So his pruning is for your growth. It is for the fruit of your life. And so we can, because we trust God and because we know his character or we're learning his character, we can say, remove it. If it's not bearing fruit, remove it. And if it's bearing fruit, prune it that I may bear more fruit and bring you glory. What I don't even know what it's going to be like if I can remember to get up every morning and say that. Because of writing that, I began to judge myself sitting back there in the office. And God just started bringing stuff to my attention that's stealing my time with Him. That's stealing my abiding time. And y'all, I don't sit around in a yoga position all day chanting to God. I mean, Friday I had a wedding. Saturday we had a birthday party and a football game. And today I have church and then I have two baseball games out of town. I don't sit around meditating all day long. But what I do is I spend enough time in His Word and in His presence in prayer that when I'm away from those quiet moments, it's still going on in here. Yeah. And then you know what? If a ref or an umpire makes a bad call, oh, Mark, I saw you in stripes yesterday. Were you doing my grandson's game? He's good, isn't he? Just thought I'd ask in front of the congregation. And I didn't see you make any bad calls, so... But if he would have called something on my grandson, let me just tell you, I need some God fruit right then. I need some stuff flowing through. But you know what? We can, and that's what we have to learn. Because right now, everyone in the world is angry about something. They're angry. I see it in a lot of church people. And it's all right to be angry against injustice. God, it says, there's a place in Scripture talking about God being angry. But He says, be angry and sin not. What do you think, where do you think it crosses over into being angry about injustice and wanting to get things right or crossing over into sin? Let me tell you a big whole part of it. That little smiley thing on our faces. But if we're connected to the vine and we're spending that time in fellowship with Him, then it helps us when we're out in public. And that's when fruit is partaken of by other people off our vine. When there's chaos going in, you can help stir the pot, or peace can be the fruit that you're bearing. We've got to get this down, church. We've got to get it down. And we stand up for what's right, and I understand all that. You don't have to come to me. I'm just talking about if you stay in connection with God, we should see some fruit. We ourselves should see fruit in ourselves. I'm not talking about me looking at Brett, seeing if he's got... I'm talking about we should see some fruit. And we know. So God began to deal with me about unproductive things that are... that I'm drawing from that aren't producing fruit. And I'll let Him deal with you on that. But my purpose was fruit's a big deal to God. He wants to deal with me about the fruit. So let's take a moment and go all the way back to Genesis, because I think it's always interesting to find where something's first mentioned. And when fruit is first mentioned, it's in Genesis 1. Didn't take Him long to talk about fruit. I'm going to read this verse out of the Living Bible, and then I'm going to switch back to the King James. But I loved how this, I really felt like it emphasized some things in Genesis 1:11. It says, "And He said," God said, "let the earth burst forth with every sort of grass and seed-bearing plant and fruit trees with seeds inside the fruit, so that these seeds will produce the kinds of plants and fruits they come from." And so it was, and God was pleased. Fruit is produced from seeds. And when God created these plants and these trees, He put seed inside the fruit. Why? What was the purpose of seed being inside the fruit? Reproduction. I wonder why God wants us to produce fruit. Because when people partake of the fruit of peace or the fruit of love or the fruit of joy from you, what they don't realize is when you partake of the fruit, you've partaken of the seed. Now, the next time this word fruit is mentioned outside of Genesis 1 is in Genesis 3, verse 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, God hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat. And gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. There was the tree of life in the garden. There was a whole bunch of other trees. And there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't eat of that tree. Don't eat of the fruit of that tree. Why? Because the seed of the knowledge of good and evil is in that fruit. See, we think we can take of the fruit of things without taking the seed of that thing and it producing something in our life. That's the lie from the pit of hell. That's the serpent coming to your garden and saying, what God said is not true. With the fruit came the seeds, and seed will produce after like kind. It can't produce anything else but like kind. It's set up that way in Genesis. That's why we have to be so careful what we're partaking of, what we're connected to, the vine that we're connected to, because it will produce after a lifetime. The good news is, if we're connected to the vine, Jesus Christ, as he instructs us to in John 15, it will produce after like kind. That's why you're called Christians, Christ-like ones. You partook of his love. You've partaken of what he's provided for you. That put a seed. You are able to produce peace, love, joy, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith. If you have accepted Christ and you are connected to him, you can produce that. Well, I'm just angry. I've been angry. I've always been angry. Well, but now we're partaking of something different. We're connected to something different. Yeah, that's right. The good news of this whole message is you can produce fruit that glorifies God. It's all in the abiding. Right. You don't have to force the change. You don't have to work on yourself, trying to produce it out of yourself. You connect to him and he will produce it through you. He may give you instruction. He may tell you to remain quiet for a while. But he's producing something in us. 1 Peter chapter 1. I mentioned this a while ago, but let me give you the reference to it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. I'm reading out English Standard Version. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. That's what you're born of. That's your seed. The seed that you came from. Now that seed's in you. Through your fruit. That's why the fruit is so important to God, church. The fruit is a big deal to God. What kind of life will that seed produce? We call it Zoe life around here, the God kind of life. What who God is and his character and Jesus' character is now what's being produced in our lives. I begin to see, when I started looking at the fruit, I went to the scientific side of it. And if there's anybody in here that's really knowledgeable, I'm looking for Tom Wilkins because he knows everything. I don't know where he is. He's around here somewhere. And as some of you study plants and different things, but I found it really interesting when I started looking at the scientific. I Googled, what does fruit do for the plant? Because if you look at what fruit does for you, we kind of know that, right? You nutritionists in here. I've got several of you in here. We know about the vitamins and the things that are in fruit that are good for the bodies. Or I say we know. We have a little bit of knowledge of that. But why is the fruit so important to the plant? Because I want to know, why is God valuing producing something through me so much? Why is it so important to him? Fruit encases seed, and the fruit, I never thought of the fruit around the seed being the protectant of the seed. It, Google, fruit encases the seed, protecting it from unfavorable conditions. So, if we're in a situation that's unfavorable conditions, the atmosphere is highly charged. But we have the fruit of love, or the fruit of peace. The seeds of that are protected within that love and that peace from the unfavorable conditions. They can still produce in people's lives no matter what the atmosphere is. Fruit disperses seeds away from the parent plant. Let Rusty and I talk to you about bamboo. It's evil. We're on a war. We are in war. We're cursing it with our words. We're cursing it with poison. Sorry, John Glenn. Yes, we're using poison on it. Sorry for the bees. I hope they don't like bamboo. It's a battle because it spreads. But what if we're spreading fruit? The plant needs to produce fruit. God needs to produce fruit through you to spread and grow the kingdom.
Yes, that's good.
You are important in the kingdom of God. How you are, what you're connected to, what your life is producing. It's not that anybody expects you to be perfect. We just expect you to be connected and be in a constant pruning process. That's what God needs, because God needs it so important to him that you take and produce fruit so that seed is dispersed through you away from the church. In the church, yes, but where the parent plant is not found, you are. Well, I just hate my job. You wouldn't believe it. Bunch of heathens. I mean, my goodness. Perhaps God has planted you there, you fruit bearer. Just walk into work tomorrow, wear you a fruit bearer t-shirt. Sarah over here makes t-shirts. Fruit bearer. Where's Charlotte? Charlotte and Bob make t-shirts. Get you some fruit bearing t-shirts. And Christian up. And walk in and smile and think, God, fruit is a big deal here. Let God be glorified today by the peace that I bring into this boardroom. Father, be glorified today by the love I'm bringing into this conversation. And y'all, I know I get on social media a lot, But if somebody contradicts you and comes after you on social media, respond with the word.
Yes.
Don't get in your flesh. You don't have to prove yourself right. I'll stay off politics, but it's election year. Your fruit is needed.
Amen.
It's needed. So seeds that the fruit produces spread, the plants, this is what it literally said, the seeds that the fruit produces spread the plant's genetic material over a wider area. You're spreading God's genetic material into places where He was not. He now is. Fruit supplies nutrients to the developing seeds, giving them energy for germination and growth. So when you sow a seed into somebody through love, peace, joy, and whatever it is, and, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, when you sow a seed into somebody, the love that you showed them or the peace that you gave them, it helps them germinate and grow. The fruit's important. Within the fruit is nutrients to help the developing seeds. It's amazing what these fruit will do. And this is on the scientific side, which obviously is, we just know God made that too. They just had, some of them just don't have it figured out. The next thing it said was fruit stores energy that help the plant itself grow and develop. God's a win-win God. If He's going to use you to grow fruit, to grow other people, there is going to be a blessing flowing through the plant.
Amen.
And that's what He just said. Fruit stores energy that helps the plant itself. If He's going to flow through the branches, He's going to bless the branches on His way through. It's the way He is. It helps the plant itself grow and develop. I loved that. And when I went back to Galatians 5, I'll just read it to you for the sake of time, but Galatians 5, starting verse 16, he says, "So I say, live by the Spirit." What's he saying? Live out of that connection to the Spirit instead of your flesh.
Yes.
We'll talk about in a minute what the flesh will produce, but the Spirit. "I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." If you're having trouble beating something in your life, a sin in your life, I want you to pay close attention. You can't. That's why the addiction centers that work are the faith-based addiction centers. Because you got to have something more than your own willpower. "If you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature." There goes the battle. "And they are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Your dependence is on Jesus Christ, not the law of Moses. It's on the blood of Jesus. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious." Here we go. If you're connected to the flesh, this is what will produce in your life. You cannot help but produce after like kind. If this is what you're connecting to, this is what you're going to produce. "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery," which is drunkenness, "idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, you know, which is divisions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live these things will not inherit the kingdom of God." What's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God's not meat and drink, the scripture says, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. You cannot inherit righteousness, peace, and joy if you're connected to the flesh. We got to connect to something greater than ourselves, better than ourselves. We cannot help but produce. We get mad at the world and we say, "Oh my goodness, don't do that. You shouldn't do that. That's a sin. That's a sin. That's a sin. That's a sin." There's no choice when you are producing after like kind. There has to be a change in what we're connected to, or there cannot be a lasting change. How many of us have beat our head against the wall trying to change something? And in that area, you may be born again, but in that area, you need to connect. Because sometimes we're connected, disconnected in other areas. We haven't turned something over to God yet. We haven't said, look, this is going to have to be you. You're going to have to help me. And let him prune us and help us and start us through the process. So these are what we would call the actions or the results of being connected to the flesh. Verse 22, but the fruit, he didn't call those fruits. Because it doesn't fit any of that criteria we read a while ago. Think about it. The things that we read from science a while ago, these actions don't produce that. They're destructive. And to everybody around you that partakes of it, they're destructive. But the fruit of the Spirit is a fruit. And it fits the criteria. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus, to Christ Jesus, have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us walk or keep in step with the Spirit. See, the actions of the flesh expose you to unfavorable conditions. Fruit protects you from unfavorable. Flesh exposes you to the unfavorable conditions. Actions of the flesh spread undesirable genetic material. Actions of the flesh, connected to the flesh, deprive you of what you need to grow. They deprive you of the energy to change. But the fruit, it protects you. It nourishes you. It spreads God in areas where he is not. Abiding in Christ, you in him, his word in you, it'll produce fruit, his fruit in your life, and not just your own efforts. Matthew 7:20, I'll just read it to you. I'm just going to read one sentence of it. Jesus is talking and he said, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. And if I remember correctly, and they're not down here because they're up there with your kids, but I think they used to do a skit, some of you younger ones can remember, called the Fruit Inspectors in Children's Church, up in our Children's Church. Fruit Inspectors. Why? Because Jesus said, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. I can look at my own life and judge my fruits and know where I need more connection. Know where I need more connection. Know where I'm distracted. Know where I'm letting other stuff in. Know where I'm connecting to things that are not, that are producing according to the flesh instead of after the Spirit. I can do that. And Jesus, he told us, he taught us, if we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. So we judge ourselves and we go, hey, I believe I need a little pruning on aisle 9. I need a little pruning over here. I need some help with this. He's the gardener. He wants to help you. He's not afraid of the process. He's not angry at the process. When he gets a, hey, here, help me, that's a good day for God. You know why? You're fixing to produce fruit where you've never produced fruit before. You're fixing to produce fruit where you were producing acts of the flesh. That makes God happy and it glorifies him. You, what he's producing through you brings him glory. And then in Proverbs chapter 11, y'all are quiet today. Proverbs 11 verse 30, King James Version, he says, the fruit of the righteous. Y'all ready for this? Who's the righteous? We are. So, the fruit of Oasia. My God, baby. The fruit of Oasia is a tree of life. And you know what I thought? In this world, there is the the garden, so to speak, and there's all this knowledge of good and evil. But then there's Lynn and Matt. So there's all this they could be partaking of over here on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then the righteous, that's you. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Where there used to not be a choice, there's a tree of life in the world right now. And that tree of life is named you. Because the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. I don't think it's by mistake that those two things are connected. I think it's when they partake of your fruit that they want to know the God that you serve. And it brings change. And they take the fruit. And when they take the fruit, they take the seed. And something's planted. And it has opportunity to grow. And if they'll accept the engrafted word, the scripture says, it will save their souls. And it'll begin to bring a cross change. So this week, and I'm telling y'all, in the weeks to come, I'll say this as kindly as I can. It may take me a minute to figure out how to say it as kindly as I want to. Don't get involved in stupid arguments. What fruit do you want to bear for God? Speak accordingly. Because our words are one of the biggest ways that fruit is partaken of, or acts of the flesh are taken of. Very few of us are going to get physically violent out there because somebody else is supporting a different political party than we are. Some of you, I've wondered, but most of the time it's going to be words, facial expressions, body language. Am I getting picky? There are things that anger me that go on in the world. But it better be for the sake of justice and not for the sake of being right. It better be for the sake of glorifying God. I mean, I get pretty passionate about pro-life. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-life. I can't be anything but pro-life because God's pro-life. If God was out killing babies, I would have to change my mind, but he's not. He gives life. He knits them together in their mother's womb, and my goodness, if he starts that process inside that womb, I want to help him get it finished. But hatred does not bring God glory. And what the Christians and the church have to figure out is how to stand up for justice and do things right without doing it wrong. And I believe this is key. Yes. Connection. Yes. Wanting to bring him glory. Wanting to bear fruit so that we spread God throughout the world. Not that we just tell people that what they're doing is wrong, but that they want to partake and be connected where you're connected because they've tasted your fruit and it was good. And it was love, joy, peace, that you had self-control when nobody else in the room had any. And let's bring God the glory and let's spread his genetic. Let's spread his genetics. We got a little time. I don't know how much time, but we got a little time. And I plan on when we go up, I want to take some people with us. Amen. Even the people that sit on the opposite side of the aisle politically. Yeah. To whatever you think is right or wrong. So let's intensify our connection, especially in the next few months. We have an opportunity to bear fruit. Amen? Y'all can stand. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, You're beating your head against a brick wall. That's all I can tell you. You know, you're trying, you don't like what you do, and you try not to do it, and yet you find yourself doing it, and you're just beating your head against a brick wall. And I'm not saying that if you come up here and get saved today, or if you pray with somebody in the back today, and you get saved, that all of your struggles are going to be over. But what I'm going to say is you'll be connected, and the pruning process can start. Because he wants you to grow, and he wants you to grow successfully, and he wants you to have a fruitful life, and he will bless the branch as he flows through to produce the fruit. And it's the best life. It has held me through life's toughest moments. It has kept me grounded. It has kept me in love when anger and bitterness could have taken over my soul. It's the best life you could ever live. And so when we get through praying, as some of us are going to be up front, if you need prayer for anything, if you're just going through something, you need prayer, if you need to accept Jesus as Lord, we won't leave up here and until you do. I mean, we're here for it. And if we can get in agreement with you, or we can lead you to Christ, either way, pray for healing in your body, whatever you need, we want to pray for you. And let's hit it this week. Go to verse 2, John 15, verse 2, speak it over yourself. Let's do that this week, okay? I'll try to send you a reminder, or I'll have Cherie send out a reminder on social media on our page. Let's remember, we're here to bring glory to God. We're here to produce fruit. So, Father, we submit ourselves to you. We submit our flesh. Father, we trust you as the good Father, as the husbandman of this vineyard. Father, we trust you. That when you point something out to us, it is for fruit production. It is out of love, and it is out of the need to reach other people. So, Father, when we say we submit our flesh to you, I know most people in the room are born again, that they've already connected to you, but there may be areas in our life that we need more of you flowing through that area. And we just ask that you bring that to our attention, that you nudge us where we got hit today with your word. And Father, that you begin to do a work in us on showing us the how, showing us the steps that you want us to take, so that we can have that time with you, and you can bring excellence and produce more fruit. We submit ourselves to you. When we say amen at the end of this prayer, it is our saying, so be it, let it be, we submit to you. So we pray it, and we ask for your help, Holy Spirit. It is in Jesus' name that the church says, amen. Amen.